Psalm 72, verse 16. Now, Psalm 72 was the Psalms written by David to his son. But the son here that he was looking to was 28 generations down the line.
All right.
It wasn't Solomon.
All right.
It was Jesus Christ.
Okay.
You can see him in every verse in this psalm. It starts out, give the king thy judgment in verse 1, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. And the last verse is different than any other. It says the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So I take it that this psalm was right at the end of his life. For he was a praying man.
Yeah, he was.
And he prayed many prayers. Amen. And verse 16, there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. Now it says mountains, not just one.
Right.
The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. Did you know that God the Father put some corn in the earth on tops of the mountains?
All right.
Now, in that country, they say corn is corn of wheat.
Yeah.
I don't care. Wheat makes bread.
Sure it does.
Corn makes bread.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ, I want you to know, is the bread of life.
Yes.
So this corn is representing life, the bread of life, and Jesus Christ being the bread of life. And when he came and began to be baptized and the Holy Ghost moved on him, and the Bible said the Spirit drove him, he went on top of the mount called the Mount of Temptation.
All right.
And when he went there, he prayed. I've been to that country. I looked there at the city of Jericho back to the left, and there was a mountain there, no water source on that mountain. A lot of people says, well, you can fast, just eat. Don't eat, but you can drink all you want to. There wasn't no water up there where Jesus fasted.
All right.
There's never been no water, Brother Neil,
right,
on that mountain. Jesus went and fasted that he might get a hold of that seed that the Father put in the ground there. And that seed is the gospel. And in Matthew it said, this being the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Hallelujah. This is the gospel that Jesus dug out up there on his knees, praying to the Father, getting a hold of the Father, that he might proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. I believe that corn is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And I believe Jesus Christ came and he preached that gospel. And Mark told us it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the four gospels are, is the gospels of Jesus Christ. And that corn being the gospel, and him turning that gospel in to the bread of life.
Yes. Right.
Hallelujah. And feeding the multitudes.
Praise
and he
God.
Said it's like it would shake Lebanon. I tell you, this bread shook the whole country. Round about there. It shook people. It shook them to their boot strength. And it shook their hearts and it moved on them.
Oh, yeah.
And that corn on top of the mountain, a barren land. I tell you, the hearts of hard-hearted people is barren land.
Yeah.
But that gospel will sink deep in
Lord,
that heart and bring forth life and that life everlasting.
Thank God.
Hallelujah to God. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank God for a man that got a hold of that gospel. There's a lot of things written of him. And when he began to speak in parables unto his apostles and his disciples that was followers of him, he began to talk to them. And he said, now, they said, why do you speak in parables? He said, now, for you, it's given understanding, but to these that don't know, I speak in parables, that hearing they can hear, because Isaiah said, hearing they hear not. Seeing, they see not. In other words, these don't know what you know, so I speak to them in parables. Jesus never spoke over no man's head. He spoke on a level that they understood. When he was talking to fishermen, he talked on terms of fishing. He knew they understood that terminology. When he talked to the farmers, he talked about sowing seed and things that they understood. And when the gospel comes to you and pricks your heart, you know you're under conviction. You know you're a sinner. You know you're headed for hell. And you'll have to admit in your heart, Lord, if you don't save me, I'll be forever lost.
Yes, yes, yes.
That seems to be a hard thing for a man to get a hold of. When I was praying, I began to pray, began to seek God. I started praying on Wednesday night. Saturday morning, I began to pray, and I said, Lord, I'm a lost man. If you don't save me, I'll go to hell. There's no hope for me. When I got down in earnest, dug through that old hard earth, got down there where there was something soft, that seed of life was planted in my life, and I become a brand new man. You see, a seed is just a seed until it falls in the ground and dies, and then it comes forth a new plant. I tell you, when that old man dies, he's just good fertilized for that new man to grow on. Hallelujah! It takes some fertilizer for these seeds to grow. And the death of that old man is just a good fertilized bed for that good seed to land in and come forth a new man. It'll come forth the blade. He spoke of a tare, the tares being sowed among the wheat there. And he said the goodman went out and sowed the seed. And he went in, took his rest. But something happened. They began to come up, and here come the servants in. Said, Master, did not you sow good seed? Yeah, I sowed good seed. What meaneth these tares? He said, an enemy hath done that. Did you know there's an enemy that's trying to tear down all the gospel that the preachers are preaching? And a preacher cannot get discouraged because a preacher has got to preach the gospel. And how can they hear except they be ministered unto? And how can they preach except they be sent? God has got a chosen people. And he's got some seed that the world don't know where it's at. And it's called corn in the earth on top of the mountain. Sometimes you got to pray. You got to seek God till you can get a hold of God. And you can feel that good anointing come down. And get up on your soul. And you can preach on one word if you want to. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not your education or what you know. It's what God is doing with you and through you. And if you're good and sanctified, you can get up here and preach. Hallelujah. God ordained that. He ordained the preaching of the gospel to save the lost. And I tell you, you don't have to worry much. It's been some good preaching here. Good preaching on sanctification. Good preaching on coming out from among the world. It takes that. I tell you, don't worry about the gospel offending. Because if they're offended at the gospel, it's not you that they're offended at, it's Christ. And if they're offended at Christ, they're in trouble. And I love the Lord for all he's done. And I love this scripture where it says, there shall be a handful of corn in the earth on the top of the mountains. Jesus came to fulfill all that was written of him in the law and the prophets and Psalms, he said, concerning me. There were some things written there that the people could not understand. In one of the Psalms, it said, they plowed up on my back and the furrows were deep and long. Did you know before Jesus went to Calvary and died for our sins, he went to the whipping post and bore them stripes for our healing? All the needs of humanity lie in the body of Christ Jesus. He suffered those stripes on his way to Calvary where he was going to die. And in Revelations 1 and 5, he said he washed us from our sins in his own blood. He suffered, people, that we might have this. He found this on the Mount of Temptation. He prayed 40 days and 40 nights. And then he was tempted of the devil. And the devil brought forth something there, throwed in his face, said, if you be the Son of God, Jesus didn't have to prove he was. The devil knew who he was. He knew who he was. Jesus knew he was. He didn't fall to no temptation. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. But I want to show you something. Over there a little further, his disciples come to him after the resurrection. He was on the seashore. They was out fishing. And you know he had some fish on the fire. You know where he got them? I think he just showed the devil he could turn stones into bread and fish if he wanted to. Hallelujah. I know it's not recorded like that, but they sometimes you just get a hold of something that you want to show your authority to them that says you ain't got none. Hallelujah. I believe he did. I believe he did that and showed them who he was and what he could do. Hallelujah. He said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And when he was here, yes, he walked like any man. But I want to tell you something. He was deity when he was born. I've had them tell me, you know, Jesus had to be corrected when he was out there playing. He's like any other boy. He had to have a whipping. He didn't do it. He was deity when he was born. He was deity all the way. He was God as well as he was man. There was no guile found in him. He was the Son of God. He was God. He knew where the Father put that corn on the mountain. He knew every scripture that was prophesied of him. And he come to fulfill every one of them. He didn't bypass that one that said the stripes was deep and long on his back. He didn't bypass that one that said no bone would be broken. Although he was nailed to the cross, he fulfilled every scripture. He done everything that was written of him. He knew the scriptures was hard, that there'd be some hard things he'd have to go through. But listen, Jesus bore it all because he is the bread of life. And he knew there were some hungry people seeking some bread. Amen. I preached one time to a man that worked in a bakery for 30-some years and retired. He come to church. He believed in eternal security, believed he was saved when he's a boy. But when I preached to him, I preached on bread. He should have known more about bread than anybody. Sat there and cried the whole time because he realized he wasn't eating the bread of life. He knew that he wasn't eating, wasn't living like he should live. They'll hold to that, that if you're once saved, you'll go to heaven regardless what. That may sound good, but you might come up short on the day of judgment. I will not come to the pulpit at any time, unless I clear my conscience of all obstacles. I want to pray. I want to say, God, I want to go up there clear. I want to go up there to the place that you can give me some bread and I can pass it out and feed the congregation. God's got some bread. He's got some corn on the mountain. When that man was laying there for 38 years, Jesus asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Now imagine a man laying there crippled and lame for 38 years and Jesus asked him, will thou be made whole? I know what would have went through my mind. I know what went through his. Yes, Lord. But when I go to get in the water, somebody always gets in before me. One time, I hadn't been saved too long. I was sitting kind of close to the front and the preacher began to preach. Somebody, we was Baptist folks then, people. And we come up in the Baptist church, and I'd been getting around holiness people a while, began to see the joy of the Holy Ghost moving, began to wonder. I'd been reading and studying the Word of God. Said, God, take everything I know and just give me that you want me to know, because a lot of things I think's right's probably not right. I began to pray and seek God, and I sat in there. Somebody said, oh, we just need to lift our hands and praise the Lord. Seemed like that felt so good, my hands wouldn't go up. Somebody beside me went to jumping, the shouting, and the kicking the pews. They got theirs. I said, oh, Lord, I lost that blessing, but I'll not lose another. God, if you give me opportunity, I'm going to get them up there, Lord. And you know what I did? I eat all the bread I could get a hold of. It just took a little inkling for me to move, and I began to move and shout, holler hallelujah to God. It don't take much to get you to eat if you're hungry. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God's got a filling station. Hallelujah. I don't like to drive that car of mine very far when it gets past a quarter of a tank, because it might be further than what gas I got to go to the next station. I just like to stop and fill it up. I don't like to get to my plumb empty before I hear good preaching. I want to hear it, brother. I want to hear it a while. I don't want to go too long without feeling the Holy Ghost move until I find a checkpoint and get that inspection. Lord, what's wrong? I'm supposed to get joy in my heart. The joy of the Lord is our strength, people. We need some joy. We don't need to come in church feeling bad, downhearted, and downcast, and thinking we got all the problems there is in the world. We don't need to feel that way. We need some joy, some peace, some understanding, some fruits of the Holy Ghost coming forth from our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one thing about corn. It don't grow wild. Corn comes up, it's corn, and corn, by the way, will grow in any country in the world. Any country can produce corn. But you take a peach tree. I've got one at the house down in the woods. Has little bitty peaches, they call them Indian peaches. They'll get out so big, they never get ripe, they wither up and die. But you can take that bush, transplant it into good ground, and fertilize it good, and it'll have good peaches. You can take a plum bush, and it's got little bitter fruits on it growing in the wild. Dig it up, plant it, and it'll have big, ripe, juicy plums. You can take strawberries. These, it just grows out wild. We've done this. And little bitty strawberries. Plant them in good ground. Pick the blooms off of them the first year. And the second year, they'll have strawberries sweet that big around. It just takes some cultivation. It takes work, people, to get a hold of that that's good. And I want you to know that if God lets you find a handful of corn, you read, you study, you get a hold of that that he give you and get some understanding on the gospel. And then get up here, preacher, and preach that you know. Don't preach what you think's right. Don't preach what you read after somebody wrote it 200 years ago. You preach that you know, and then you can feed them that is hungry. Hallelujah to God. It takes the good bread to satisfy a hungry soul. Hallelujah. I'm glad that this being compared to the gospel, in my mind, in my heart, and by the way, I dug this up. I didn't read it somewhere else. Hallelujah. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. Have you ever prayed down in the valley? That's a good place to pray. There's a lily down there. You get a hold of that lily. But when you get on top of the mountain, God can start filling your soul with good things. He can give you the good manna from heaven. You know, on over in this chapter, I don't have time to read it all. It said he can come down like rain upon the mown grass. Hallelujah to God. He can endure and continue as long as the sun. In other words, he is forever and ever, and the sun will always shine as long as this earth remains, and the moon will, but he's going to be here as long as they are. Why? Because he's the bread of life, and he's going to feed humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ himself. As long as we're here, there's opportunity to come and dine. If you're hungry, you can come and dine. For Jesus has the table spread. Thanks be to God, where the saints of God are fed. Let the chosen, let the hungry come and dine. Hallelujah. You don't have to go away hungry. When he had them in a grassy place, the Bible speaks of a grassy place. And when I went to Israel, there was one plot of ground. I don't remember just how wide it was, but there was thick grass grown all the way to the Sea of Galilee, up the side of that mountain. Nowhere else in that country did you see grass like that. So you know what I said? I said, right here is where Jesus fed the multitude. Because there was grass there, Brother Neil. It didn't take a genius to figure that out. And you know what they told us? They said, by the way, this is where he fed the multitude. Well, I done figured that out. That was a grassy place. He said, here, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. In the city, Jesus went many times in the cities preaching the gospel. Many followed him. All that come to him afflicted, he healed them all. All those that would hear the word, he saved them. Amen. It flourished in the cities. That's where the people were. That's where the most people would congregate, was out of the cities. So he preached in the cities. And when he commissioned his 12, he said, go ye into all the world and teach them to observe. What did they observe? The things that Jesus taught them. The things that Jesus did. The things that he taught them was a little strange and contrary to what the law taught. But nevertheless, the law was only for Israel. Jesus Christ came for the whole human race. He extended the borders. The law came by Moses now, but grace and truth came by Christ Jesus. A little different story here when he began to preach, because he had compassion and love that reached out to the lost man. He didn't care what he had done. When they brought that woman that was caught in a very act of adultery, he just stooped over and began to write. Raised up, crowd got a little thinner. He wrote the second time. Then he raised up and looked at her and said, where are thine accusers? Oh, I don't have any, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, it wasn't that she got away with what she's doing. It was the fact that she believed upon him who could forgive sin even in this life. And he said, go and sin no more. It's one thing to get forgiven of sin, but it's another when you go back dipping in sin. Hallelujah. Stay clean when you get clean. Wash yourself with hyssop and be clean. Wash yourself in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. This will come down like rain on mown grass. The Spirit of God will come down upon a large congregation, upon the small congregation. And after he had preached, after he ascended to heaven, he was blessing them there. And while he was blessing them, the Bible said he was lifted up. And they just stood there looking up. How did he defy gravity? How did he do that? He's flying. He's leaving us. He's floating right up in the air. What manner of man is this? Just like Peter on the fishing boat. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He seen what the Lord could do. Spoke and the sea was calm. He done things no one else could do, because he knew where the corn patch was. I'm telling you, preachers, we could get anointed a little better if we could find the corn patch. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I tell you what we need is know where the corn patch is at. Then we'll have something to make the bread out of. Hallelujah to God. I don't know what you're getting, but I'm liking this little fault. It's making me feel good. Hallelujah. Dig till you get a hold of the corn. It's easy to make bread if you got the corn. That substitute stuff is no good. I don't even like substituted mashed potatoes. They don't taste near as good as real mashed potatoes does. Hallelujah. I want the real thing. It means more to me. Hallelujah. Dig, dig, dig until you strike oil. Then you've got something that'll keep your lamp burning. It won't burn on nothing else, but dig till you strike the oil. Hallelujah. Then you can let your little light shine, because the oil will keep your lamp burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm about out of breath, but I'm not out of something to say. Just excuse me. This water. Yeah. Get awful dry sometimes. Hallelujah. Jesus was telling you that he was tucked away. There was two men stood there in white apparel. And they looked at them disciples. Said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus. Now, it's not another one. I know it's been over 2,000 years, but he didn't say another one like him. He said, this same Jesus that you've seen go away shall come again in like manner. Do you believe in a bodily resurrection? Yes, I do. I want to get that straight right now. I believe in a bodily resurrection. Jesus come out of there in a body. And the same body that they crucified, he come out of there, and the evidence was, Thomas, come here. Look at my hand. Put your finger in the prints, Thomas. Thrust your hand in my side. That was the same body, people. That same Jesus that went away is going to come again in like manner. And the same corn that made bread when he started preaching is still going to be preached by the apostles that he sets aside and the preachers that he ordains and calls to preach the gospel. We'll be preaching out of the same corn patch. Hallelujah to God. There is no new gospel that'll get people saved. There is no new Bible that'll do you any good. It takes the old time Word of God, the King James Bible, to do you any good and penetrate sin and get it out of your life. That's the only thing that'll work, people. That's the only portion without the shedding of blood, Paul said, there is no remission. And he told them over there in the book of Acts, he was so tired of going to Athens and seeing a bunch of deadheads worshiping idols. He said, now, your own poet said, and he began to speak to them there, and he said, whom he hath ordained, speaking of God the Father, about Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance. Assurance. The reality of what he's telling you here, the Father has given you the assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. What religion can plan? Come out and tell you about a risen Savior, but Christianity. These other religions that they say they've got a right, like you've got a right, and you can't offend them, but buddy, they don't mind offending you. They'll tell you that you can't pray in Jesus' name in public places, but yet they'll bow down and pray to their God all they want to. That kind of stuff is rotten. Don't get involved in it. Leave it alone and look on to Jesus. Peter and them would preach and they'd say, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to look to him. And I'm not hunting another one. I'm not like these people in Athens hunting some new thing. I'll just stick with the old. I'll just stick with Christ Jesus and the love of God that flows from his breast to mine. And I stood in his presence one time praying and seeking the Holy Ghost. And I woke, didn't wake up. I was in the middle of the night. And I called it a vision, even though I was a young man. And young men dream dreams. But I seen a vision of the Lord standing right there in my presence. Everything within me was flowing to him, and the love of him was flowing to me. I never felt such love. I never felt such peace and joy. And while I was standing there, and that love was flowing to me, he spoke to me. And you know what he did? I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know what that did to an old Baptist mind? And boy, I forgot everything I thought I knew. And Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. You talk about getting hungry and thirsty. I did. Took me a while to get it, but I did get it. Hallelujah to God. And I appreciate the Lord. Because this same Jesus that they seen go away, he comes again. He'll come every time you have need of him. He'll be there. I don't care what the trouble is. When you get in trouble, you can cast them on him. For one reason, he careth for you. That's why we can cast them on him. There is no need in a Christian getting disheartened or getting discouraged or feeling like they love everybody else, but none of them loves me. If anyone had a right to feel that way, it'd be a pastor. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there for a long time. A pastor would be justified in feeling that way, but really he's not even justified in it, because the Lord loves him and he'll lift him up and get him by the hand and take him through every trial. And if a mud hole gets too deep for you, just get him by the hand. And if you don't want to wade in, a walk on it. Hallelujah. Because if you got your hand in his hand, you can walk on every obstacle and everything comes your way. You walk on it. Hallelujah. Tread upon the serpent. Tread on him. He might bruise your heel, but you can bruise his head. Because Christ Jesus is our helper. And he's our present help in time of trouble. He said he was. And if you believe the rest of it, that's just as much Bible as John 3:16. We can cast our cares on him because he cares for you. I love him because he cares for me. I have been to places where I felt like I'd have to reach up to get a hold of the bottom. I'd feel so sorry for myself. I got both legs crushed up, laying in the hospital bed. Doctors wanting to take one of them off. And I looked across. I said, Lord, if them boys over there, they were sitting in there. I was in a ward in the VA hospital, sitting there looking over there, and they was playing cards, just laughing, having a good time. And I said, Lord, if they was in the shape I'm in, they wouldn't be doing that. That old boy got a hold of what we called a monkey bar there, picked himself up, both legs was cut off right here. It smote my heart. I said, Lord, I'll not complain no more. That old boy was happy, didn't even know the Lord. And I was a Christian that God had called to preach, feeling sorry for myself. I said, I quit this nonsense, Lord. Whatever shape I'm in, whatever state I'm in, I can still praise the Lord. I can still be happy. I can still uplift his name because he's still Jesus. Hallelujah, he's still Jesus. Let's just look unto the Lord. And I tell you, sometimes I've seen people and things happen in their family. And, buddy, it's coming to about every family now. Divorce and these different things that we don't even like to think about. Some of them is coming to our own households. They come into Christian homes. We don't know what's happening to them, but they are. But I want to tell you something. This same Jesus that they seen go away, he'll come again in like manner. He can still mend the broken heart. He can still bind up the homes that's been tore apart. He can still heal the crippled children. He can still raise the dead if he wants to, because all power is given unto him. I belong to him. Therefore, I've got access to heaven through him. Hallelujah! We're overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bring your cares to him, because he careth for you. Well, I tried my best to preach. I'm just going to turn it over to Brother Neil right here. Brother Neil.